W4DJW. This is WB4 Fox Echo Echo Dan calling.
WB4FEE, W4DJW. Hey, Dan.
How you doing, bro?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Great, doing great. I forgot the net tonight, and I just happened to think. That guy called me today, Peter, N1PJN, the one from Star, and wanted to know. He said you still hadn't gotten in touch with him yet, and he wanted to know, had I talked to you lately? And I told him we just talked about a week ago or so. Did you try to contact him yet?
No, not yet. I had a very busy weekend with work. In fact, worked all day long yesterday. Didn't even get to check into the net myself. But what's a good time to call him? Because usually I work California hours, and by the time I get off work, it's pretty late sometimes.
I asked him that very thing today, and he said between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. He said maybe a little bit later than 7, but he said he gets up early, real early, I think like you do. So I think he turns in kind of early too, though.
Well, it's a good thing I didn't call him after work then, because sometimes it's 9 or 10 o'clock at night when I get off work, and this weekend it was mostly work. So, but I do get up early, so I could call him at 7, but that just seems, you know, you usually don't call people that early in the morning, you're getting them out of bed. So, but maybe 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning tomorrow I could give him a call. Well, after I finish up, my wife had some plants come in, so I got to help her with those in the morning. Got to get them out of the boxes and set them out in the rain. They can't be sitting in boxes too long, and this rain will be really good for them. So we got to get that done. If I get that done before I have to go to work, then I can call him in the morning.
Dave, yeah, that would be good, probably. Where he thought he'd be around, you know, so 7, 8:39, I guess any time long in there, probably. You'll probably get him there over.
Okay, I'll make myself a note and try to remember to do that if I get time in the morning in between getting the plants put outside so that they can absorb some of this nutrients that comes from the rain from the sky and time to go to work. I'll see what I can do.
Well, Dave, and I told him that you worked some long hours and that you were real busy. And that's probably the reason you hadn't got to call him yet. So, but if you could give him a call, I'd appreciate it. And I know he would. So that was N1PJN, Peter. And you still got his phone number handy?
Yeah, I added his name and call sign to my phone so I would know who he was. So, and there's not that many Peters in my cell phone. So all I got to do is start typing his name in, and he comes up to the top of the list really quick.
Okay, Dave. Well, I appreciate it, man. And I won't be on the net probably until maybe Friday night. I'm going to be absent for a little bit here, so I won't be able to get on the net until about Friday night. So we'll talk to you then, maybe. So you take care. Have a good week, and I appreciate your comeback. So W4DJW, this is WB4, Fox Echo Echo, clear with you.
Okay, Dan. Well, always good to hear from you. You take care. Be careful. Stay safe. W4FEE, W4DJW. Clear and listening.
4DIG. W4DJW, KN4RJN.
Hey, John. How are you? W4DJW.
Oh, not bad. I had a call on the net the other night that showed, popped up as no record found, so I just penciled him in, and I'd forgotten about it, and then as the net was going this evening, I thought, oh yeah, I forgot about him. So I thought he must be a new ham, and I'll update my database, and I discovered that the database won't compile if the Rosetta at home is sitting there in standby. You have to shut it down altogether. It gave me a, you know, sharing problem and wouldn't compile. And I didn't know if you knew that or not.
Well, that's a resource issue on the computer, the laptop. Rosetta takes a lot of space. I was just looking at it. It can consume up to 6 gigabytes of memory on a 4 processor. Let's see, no, up to 8 gigabytes of memory, even more than that. On a 4 CPU machine, it can go over 8 gigabytes of RAM and then another 8 gigabytes of swap space. And when you're compiling 1 million hams from 3 separate sources into a database that's got over 1 million ham radio operators in it, that takes a lot of resources too. So I think you just put 10 tons worth of work in a 2-ton pickup truck.
Well, I got the software set to, you know, as soon as I touch the mouse, which I have to actually, if I want it to run and I'm sitting here working at my desk, I actually have to turn my, I've got a wireless mouse, and it is so sensitive that if I bump the desk, you know, the thing will suspend because it thinks the computer's in reuse. But I, you know, I told it, I went in and told it to suspend so it wouldn't pop up while I was working on stuff. And it still wouldn't, you know, it still wouldn't compile. So I finally went in and just, you know, closed the thing down completely. And then it worked. So just got another exciting adventure in, you know, computing. But it, I didn't know if you tried to compile your, update your database lately with that thing running or not.
W4DJW. I do that regularly, but it's on my new machine. I did that once on my old machine. The old one had 8 CPUs and 16 gigs of RAM, and it would compile. It'd work okay, but I noticed it took longer to compile because when I'm running Rosetta, and by the way, Rosetta has a setting in there too that says when you suspend, don't keep everything in memory. Right, write it all out to disk. Get rid of it when you suspend, or you can suspend and say leave everything in memory. So that, and that makes for quicker startups once you're finished suspending. So if you leave everything in memory, and you've got limited memory, and you've got some work units that are really using up all your RAM and your swap disk space, which when you get into swap, everything slows down tremendously anyway. But if you've got if you've got that much memory, if you've got like 16 gigs of RAM and you've got 8 cores running, it's kind of marginal. The new machine that I got not too long ago has eight CPUs, 4 cores, 8 CPUs, but it has 32 gigs of RAM, and it just runs like blazing fast because it runs at 5 gigahertz instead of like 2.5 gigahertz like the old one did. So even with it fully loaded with Rosetta, it'll compile the database all at the same time because the Rosetta never uses more than half of the 32 gigabytes of RAM. So it's all a function of resources.
Check. Well, now I know. But in any event, I keep getting emails from Boy Inc. or from whatever it is, is saying, you know, we haven't heard from your computer, you know, and what's going on? And I was like, I've been running this thing for a month now, and we got, let me check here. I've got 47,000 work units, and I was like, wait a minute, what do you mean you haven't heard from my computer? What's with you guys?
Well, I haven't received one of those emails yet. That's interesting, because I do have, like, I was running a virtual machine inside a Windows machine. I was running a virtual Linux machine, and that didn't pan out so well. I mean, it worked good in the beginning, but it would consume everything. I couldn't even use my computer. So, but it chewed through some work units really fast, so it worked really good in that respect, but it rendered my computer useless to me. So I had to unload it, and I let it work, I let it crunch out all of its work units before I shut it off, right? So, and it takes about 8 hours per work unit, and if you've got any in storage, they'll load up and start a new 8 hours worth of work. So sometimes it can take 2 days to let it run out, depending on what you've got it set to for storing work, because in the early days, they used to go offline for a while, and what the guys that were doing the crunching all the time requested was that they could store up more work units so that if they did go offline, they could keep their computers busy despite them being offline, them being the Rosetta team. So by doing that, it rendered my machine useless. So I let that one bleed off. I shut it down. It still shows up in the stats, but it's not being used anymore. And I would think that would be the criteria that you would need to get one of those emails. But I didn't. I haven't received one on that yet. Plus, those that used to run Windows and now run Linux did the same thing. I let them bleed out, and once they finished, I switched them over to Linux, and the old box still shows up, but they won't send me any emails. I don't know if you selected that in your options or how you got it to do that.
Well, the email reads, the email reads, "Greetings from Science United. We haven't heard from your computer yet, but please make sure that BoInc is installed and running. Thanks for participating in Science United." And the email is from the BoInc admin. So, you know, boinccadm@boinccberkeley.edu. So I keep getting these things. I haven't responded to any of them, but I'm... I feel like I ought to write them and say, "Hey guys, this thing has been running for a month. I got 47,000 work units. I don't know why you think I'm not there, but I am."
Well, didn't you do the same thing I did, where you let a few, or you changed machines around a little bit, or you've got one running, but not all of them are running?
I was getting these. Right now, I've only got the one running, but the one that I shut down, let it rest for a little while. I just did that, you know, just a few days ago, and I've gotten several of these emails, and I'm going, "I don't understand what you guys are talking about. This thing is running, and has been for some time now." So I don't understand that at all.
So they couldn't have picked you out like a human couldn't have done that. They've got over 1.5 million people crunching for them. So that couldn't have been something that they... that they isolated you and sent you an email from a human to a human. That was from a machine to a human. I'm almost certain of it. But did you go on their website, perhaps? Because some of those instructions say go configure on a link. Where you can do it that way too, and they do that because a lot of people set theirs up at home and then they go to work and they want to check on them when they're at work, so they can't run that client that sets it up on the machine, so they give them the option of setting them up from a website. Did you choose that option? Maybe that's what triggered it.
I don't recall. I remember you sent me the link and I went and found the software and downloaded it and did all that happiness and got it up and running, so I don't rightly recall how I did that, but I think somebody tripped over an extension cord somewhere, circuit went wonky or something, because somehow they think I'm not there when I show up in the stats. So, and this was when I had, I got that when I had three computers running. Right now I've only got the one, but, I get them periodically. I'd have to check my trash here to see just how often I have been getting them, but I've been about once a month, apparently, or so. Every maybe 3.5 weeks or so I get one, and it's like, what's going on here?
Well, now that you said that, I may have some in my trash bin. I just didn't find them. There's 580 emails in my trash bin that I haven't looked at. So I might have some of those in my trash bin from those machines that, and I'm sure it's not that they don't go out and check how many machines that you have and see if one of them are still reporting. I'm sure it's this machine hasn't reported in. The user selected an option to notify them when it shuts down because people will request functionality like that. I'll say, if one of my machines shuts down, send me an email so I can check on it. And I'm sure that somehow that got set in your profile for a machine, not all machines, but for at least one machine that's not reporting anything anymore. And it triggered that functionality that people request. They want it to do that. and I doubt they went back and correlated, okay, who is this user and what are all their machines? Are any of their machines working? If so, don't send the email. I'm sure it's more like if this machine stops sending in work units and in number of days start sending emails, they want to know about it. You know what I mean?
Well, I'll go through all my settings and see what I've got, but and maybe that's it. I don't know, but I only check my email on this particular machine. So, but I remember getting one of those when I think all three of them were running. I could be wrong on that, but no notices. Okay, well, I might go into settings and see what's going on here. Anyway, computing preferences. Here we go. No, nothing there. Huh, I don't know. In any event, what's going on in your world?
Well, I've been sitting on bridges a lot. had a release this past weekend, and it didn't go perfect. I got that fixed pretty quick, though. But then others were having releases, too, and theirs didn't go well. And because I'm in the middle, I get called in to say, hey, what's this guy doing? When this guy does this, what does that guy do? Right, so that keeps me on bridges. So most of all day yesterday, I was in a bridge. While I'm in the bridge, it's like flying an airplane. Hours and hours of boredom interrupted by brief moments of stark terror. while I'm in there, I'm looking at overclocking these Raspberry Pis to eke a little bit more work out of them. And I found a way to do that, but it became unstable. And I think that's because they're all network booting now, so they don't have any SD cards in them. They don't have any storage attached to them at all. It's just a bare card. It's got two plugs in it, an Ethernet cable and a power cable. And they boot off of another machine. And so the swap space, like I was telling you, the same thing, same deal we were talking about. They can process four work units at a time, but each one can take up to 2 gigabytes or even more of memory. And the Raspberry Pi only has 4 gigabytes of memory. So it needs 8, it's only got 4. So I made swap spaces through the network, right? So it's writing to memory through the network. Well, that didn't work. That was a big flop because you can't write that fast. Even a gigabit network, you can't write. You need a 10-gig network to do that, and it still have problems. So I went back and looked at more ways to get 8 gigs out of 4 gigs of RAM. And you can do this thing. You can compress memory. They call it Z-RAM. Z is for compression. And it'll double the memory, and I was able to do that. So now I've got double the memory, and I'm overclocking. So now I'm making a Raspberry Pi perform. 2 Raspberry Pis can perform as good as an i7 machine. So that's what I've been doing while I'm sitting on bridges waiting for somebody to say, hey, what's this guy doing?
Everybody needs a hobby, I guess. Something to keep them busy. Sounds like you got a plenty. I've been looking at buying a new router. I think my router is about ready to. I don't know what's the matter with it. My granddaughter's working on her schoolwork here, and I've got her on a computer upstairs, a new computer that I bought for my wife. And we start out in the morning, and I'll hook it into the router down here, gets a good strong signal, and after about 15-20 minutes, all of a sudden it says you ain't got no internet. And I look at it, and it's got a strong signal, and the internet, you know, I say it's there's no internet. I come down here, it's working fine. So I don't know if something's getting in the way of my signal, if what's going on. I had an extender upstairs, and it died on me, and now I have to use my mobile hotspot to get her internet upstairs after the thing goes wonky on it. And so I'm going to I think I'm going to have to break down and invest in a new router and a new extender so I can get internet through the house without having to, you know, use our phones to do it.
Well, I had one of those. I had one go bad the other day. It actually caused it so that you couldn't use the pre-check-in and you couldn't use the net report and you couldn't use Echolink. And a lot of my Pis wouldn't connect. Amy's devices wouldn't work. So I went into the router and I looked at, you can look at how many clients are connected to the router in the router. If the router is like your gateway as well, if it's like connected to the modem and it's the gateway that everything uses to get out to the internet. So I went in there. I went in there and I looked at all the clients that are connected. And I saw some of them didn't have IPv4 addresses. An IPv4 address is a number dot, a number dot, a number dot, a number. There's four integers separated by dots. An IP6 address is a lot longer than that, and it's got letters and numbers, and they're separated by colons. So some of mine had IPv6 addresses and no IPv4 addresses. So I got to doing some research on the internet, and I found out the cure for that is to bounce the router. So routers usually go for years without getting turned off and turned back on. So I did that. I turned it off and turned it back on. And you wait like at least 10 seconds in between that. And it didn't fix it. So I kept looking through that page. And there's a reset button in there that wipes out all of your settings. So you've got to have everything stored up and saved up. You got to know what's port forwarded to what and what you're doing special use cases for on different things that you've set up over the years and what passwords you have. But I pressed that button, and it reloaded the firmware because it stores it on another EEPROM so that if you press that button, it's like it's a brand new router again, and it doesn't have any of the settings that you plugged into it. And that thing runs fantastic right now. It's running great. And what it needed was a refresh. It got something corrupted somewhere over the years. And I had to go back in there and plug all my port forwarding in and make all my selections and set my password. But it was worth it. I didn't have to buy another one.
Well, to tell you the truth, I don't know what the password to my router is. So if I hit that button, I guess I can just, you know, reset everything. And usually on passwords, I keep a written record of where those are at. But, you know, you have to change them from time to time. So I'm scratching out and rewriting and all that kind of stuff. And it's kind of, my book is kind of a mess right now. But I may have to try that. Just shut it down, hit the reset button, and let everything come back in. The problem is maybe not. Because my cable TV the internet's coming through the cable, so the router's hooked into that. And then the router's going to the printer and the computers and the smart TV upstairs doesn't work and it can't hook in, and I don't know what's the matter with it. So I don't know if I'm going to have to reset it or just buy a new one.
W4DJW. Well, if you decide to reset it, and that's why, the only reason I did that instead of buying another one is I didn't want to wait until another one came. I needed to get it back up and going real quick. And I did put now I've got two switches on the router, because with all these Raspberry Pis in this cluster, it filled up my 16-port hub. There was enough in there that you couldn't get the rest of these in there, so I had to get another one of those, and I had that on there as well. But if you're going to do that, go look up the model number, and usually where the model number is printed on it, it'll also tell you what the default password is on that same label, and it's different for every router. So I'd look that up and download the manual and read it front to back, back to front, 6 times so that you know that router inside and out before you press that button and you know what you're getting yourself into.
Okay, I'll do that. My wife just came down and said, look at the radar, and there's some heavy stuff headed this direction. I think it's going to go east for the most part, but Let me zoom out here a little bit. Ooh, there's a nasty line down there in Commerce, Georgia, up through Dahlonega. That's looks like it could be kind of nasty heading our direction. But right now, we look fairly. Oh, it's getting closer. I'm looking way past. Yeah, it's coming up to Anderson now, and that was it. That was an hour and a half ago. 10:15. Yeah, it's starting to come our way. We're gonna get some rain out of this. I don't know if we get any thunderstorm out of it, but we're gonna get some rain out of it anyway.
Yeah, 400.
KM4DIG.
Recognizing Al and KM4DIG. I think that's Kenneth, but I'm not sure. But John, go ahead and pick him up because Johnny's over here pinging me, and I'm trying to talk to you and talk to him at the same time, and I'm not doing a very good job. So go ahead and pick up Al and DIG, and I'll be back in a minute if I can get away. W4DJW.
This is KM4RJN. My name's John. Come on in.
There is thunderstorms around here. I know that. I heard some crashing and bashing out here. I'm just using handy talking out here, but hopefully you guys can hear me all right.
Static, but I can make you out, sir. Yeah, it looks like we're getting ready to get hit by some stuff here in just a few.
I'm on my coax to my cable, which is outside, so before Daniel's handy talking, that's how you're going to see. Let's see how this station's doing here. Go ahead, try your call. Go ahead.
This is KN4RJN. Well, I just switched over to Channel 4 to see if Chris Justice was giving us any warnings, and there's nothing there. It's just a, whatever it is that's on Channel 4 at this hour of the night. But the radar's looking iffy at best, and it's heading my way.
Quiet right now. Everything's quiet now.
Location, sir.
Open.
I'm in Inman, just north of Spartanburg. So if it's quiet there, it may not be quiet here very much longer.
I've thought of it before, but I have a feeling I'll be back.
KO4DIG, can anyone copy this radio?
Yeah, 400, other station, go ahead. I forgot your call.
KO4RJN, I heard him in there, but I didn't hear him come back, did you?
I heard a little bit, but no, I didn't.
KO4DIG, can you copy me now?
KO4DOG is KN4RJN. I've got you. KO4DOG, you still there? KI4DOG, KN4RJN, you still in there?
10-4, KO4DIG. I appreciate you coming back to me. It's name's Ken. I'm over here in Cowpens.
Roger, Ken. Name's John. Are you getting any weather over there?
Getting some rain, some light rain, and that's about it. Nothing bad right now. Over in Inman.
Might have to go over and open the door. I can't. It's dark, so I can't see out the windows to see what's going on. But my wife came down and said, look at the radar. And I'm looking at the radar. It looks like there's some nasty stuff headed this direction.
10-4. Maybe it won't be too bad. Maybe it won't be too bad. I hope not. We sure have had our share.
Roger that. Let me poke my head out the door and see what's happening. I'll be back in here in just a moment. This is KN4RJN. I just poked my head out the door. We're not even getting any rain right now. I don't know what's going on.
General KO4DIG. I don't know what's going on here. It's starting to quit here, too.
I'm going to say 70 into the net. I'll say 70 degrees, guys. Whoever next to us, and I have a little left. It's you or Dave or who, but have to check me. I'm going to say 70 degrees. Well, you guys can copy cat for us there. That's what it's doing here. I heard the thunder and rain before, so I have a feeling it will be back.
That's it. Well, 73's to you, and Tri-State Drive. Cat 4D, well, I forgot your call sign. Was it Ken?
Affirmative. It's DIG, like dig.
Ken, I got you now. KI4DIG. This is KN4RJM. My name is John. Yeah, it's not even raining here, so I suspect it's going to here. Based on the rate, well, it may have already passed us. I'm not sure. Well, the first band passed us. There's another band coming up. Let me get my clock up here. Yeah, as of about 20 minutes ago, it was not far from us. There's a big clear spot and another band coming in, so I think it's going to start raining here pretty soon.
Okay, right. I heard you say you're in Inman. You up north on 26? Where you at?
North of Spartanburg on Asheville Highway. Actually, I'm in Grambling, which is just about a mile outside of Inman. Inman's a little burg, just a little north of Spartanburg.
No, it's got to be bigger than Cowpens over here.
Not by much. We got a post office and a church, and that's about it.
I guess we're lucky. We got a Hardee's and a Dollar General, post office and a church, and everything else seems to be antique stores.
Inman itself, we've got a Hardee's, a Zaxby's, a Bojangles, a McDonald's, a Taco Bell, and a Subway and a Pizza Hut. But in Grambling, we have a post office and a church and a furniture store.
Yeah, well, I like small towns myself. I really do. I just like being able to know everybody.
Well, I grew up in the same small town in southern Indiana, North Vernon, a screaming metropolis of about 5,000 people and two stoplights.
That, two stoplights, you're big time. We only have one over here.
Well, that was when I was growing up. Now there's let's see, one, two, three, I think there's four stoplights in North Vernon now.
Oh, I did over 20 years with the Sheriff's Department over here in Gaffney, Cherokee County. And I did about a year here in Cowpens in a small town. I thought I was going to lose my mind. It's just so small.
Grambling is not even actually a town. It's a census-designated place. It's not a village or a hamlet or a town. It's just a census-designated place with a name and no specific borders. But I actually get my street mail from the Inman post office because the Grambling post office doesn't deliver. They just have post office boxes and then a counter. But, yeah, we have a church. We have a post office building that changes from time to time about what it's going to be. It was a consignment shop for a while, and now that went out of business, so they're somebody's in there rebuilding, getting ready to open up something else, and then we got a furniture store, and that's about the extent of Grambling.
I heard that. That's a small town. We're the same thing over here, just a laid-back little town.
Well, there's something to be said for laid-back little towns. Having lived in relatively large cities and small towns, I think I prefer the small town.
Me too. How long have you been doing ham?
A couple of years, I guess, now. Yeah, it's been 2 years, I guess.
I'm not sure if you can copy. I think I'm losing signal sometimes. How long have you been doing ham?
I can still hear you. I've been doing it about 2 years.
I got about 1 month.
Welcome to the hobby. There's a whole lot of things you can do with this thing. It's kind of amazing.
It's several. I'm on a UV82 right now. I had several radios. I just had sitting around in case of emergency, kind of halfway prepping just to have them. And then I met some guys and they were going to get their ham license, and they talked me into it. I'm really glad I did. Roger that. Have you tried Echo Link yet?
Fine. I found it very. It's really fun using HS stuff. It's kind of a challenge.
No, I hadn't tried it. I heard somebody else in there. Am I walking on somebody?
Dude, other station, come on back in.
And I use some HF, that way, if he has a general hold, it's kind of fun to play with. You'll learn quite a bit from it, I have.
F4DIG, did you copy him?
I heard him saying something about my general, and it's a little more fun or something like that.
Roger, get into HF, and there's a lot you can do there.
73 is some kind of in and out of this repeater splitter. It's doing great, so hopefully you got me KI-4 on clear. Check me in and I'll say 73.
I stepped on you. Come back again.
I just gonna say HF's a lot of fun, and I've got to get my extra class, but it's a lot of fun playing with HF. 73, these guys' names out. You guys send me in that cap. 4 unclear, hopefully. Copy this time.
Sir, you have a good evening. Cap 4 DIG, you still with me?
So what is that HF?
That HF is a lot of fun. I haven't played around with that too much, but I have played around a little bit with Echo Link, and Echo Link, you know, through the computer, you can talk to anybody in the world.
Put me over there and
Or DIG, you still in there?
Lost you over there in Inman. I'm not getting out anywhere, so I'm KO4 DIG. I'm going to be quick.
Roger that, sir. You have a good evening. 73's to you. This is KN4RJN, and I am clear.